1 Timothy 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Now these things are the words of faith and good doctrine, as it's expressed in verse 6. Words to be believed. Words that must be believed. Words, a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Words of faith, words to accept by faith. That Christ is all, and what he did is our salvation. That's how it says it in verse 6. Words of faith and of good doctrine, good teaching, gospel teaching. These things include the truth that salvation is not had by you doing or not doing anything. That's at the beginning of this chapter. You abstaining from marriage or abstaining from certain meats or other things will not make you holy before God. That's why religious people do those things, to recommend themselves to God, to supposedly please God. That doesn't please God. Christ pleases God. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Christ is the sinner's only righteousness before God. That's what these things is talking about. These things are the mystery of godliness described in chapter 3, verse 16. How that God was manifest in the flesh and justified in the spirit. God is a man. God was manifest. A man perfect and holy and sinless, justified in the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't miss anything. Justified in God, in the sight of God, as a man, the only one. And that's who gave himself at Calvary. That's who died for our sins according to the Scriptures. God in flesh, justified. And it says, meditate upon these things. You know, the world talks about meditation. And as I understand it, meditating to this world is clearing your mind of everything. We're already empty-headed enough. We don't need to make that any worse. This is to meditate upon the things of God. It's not clearing your mind, it's filling your mind with that which matters, that which is real, that which is of eternal consequence. To fill your mind with the things of God. Think on these things. If there be anything holy and pure and right. And he said, think on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Meditate upon who God is. If this book tells us who God is, and it does, then we need to read it. We need to know it. We need to hear it. We need to believe it. How he deals with sinners. He reveals so much to us of who he is and how he deals with sinners. How he deals with sin. God tells us what we are, what a sinner is, our desperate case, our helplessness, our hopelessness, our total depravity before him. God tells us of Christ, the Lord, from the very beginning. The Lord Jesus, whom he gave a people from the foundation of the world, and how that Christ became surety for those people. We meditate on these things. How that he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, but was yet without sin. The only man, what the law couldn't do because of our flesh, God sent his Son to do it, to be it, to be the righteousness, human righteousness, the only righteousness there is, in which a sinner can stand before God. How he became our righteousness in all that he did. all that he did and how that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. Meditate on these things, the mystery of godliness. The fact that salvation is not what you do or don't do. God tells us that he, the Father, nor the Son, nor the Holy Spirit have ever tried to do anything. You look at the context of this. This is the sovereign God. He says, meditate on these things, on this godliness, godlikeness. You remember when we talked about that? Godliness is godlikeness. It's not godlike to try and fail. It's not godlike to die for everybody and most people go to hell. That's not godlike. It's not godlike to love people with an everlasting love and yet let them go because you don't want to violate their almighty will. That's not godlike. Godlikeness. Meditate on that. Meditate on what it is to be God. My God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Godlikeness. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's godlike. That just rings godlike. I don't care who you are. You're deliberately denying the godhood of God. When they knew God, they refused to glorify him as God, Romans chapter 1. That's what we're talking about. His godlikeness. Meditate on that. Be that. Act like that. Because that's in this too. We're going to see that. This book tells us who he is in that aspect. The Father has mercy on whom he will have mercy. The Son laid down his life for his sheep and they shall never perish. That's success. That's victory. That's a champion of salvation. The Holy Spirit, like the wind, blows where he pleases and gives life to whom he will. That's godlike. Gives spiritual birth to sinners from above. John chapter 3. Meditate upon how that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Meditate on what this is that we do here. Meditate on that. Think on that. Think of what God is doing for us now. What he did for us is paramount. But think about what he's doing now, where he is now. And how that we're privileged to worship him for all that he is and all that he's done. It pleased God to save them that believe by these means. Meditate upon rightly dividing the word of truth with scripture shedding light on scripture, not my opinion shedding light on anything. And being faithful and steadfast in the ministry. Meditate on that. Meditate on when you speak, you're speaking for God, not so that when the gospel goes forth, it's God that speaks and not me, not you. When you're witnessing for him. Colossians 3:1, think about this. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. I quoted this a minute ago, but I want us to turn over there with me. Look at this. Colossians chapter 3. This is key to our text. Meditate on these things. What things? That's what we're talking about. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, if Christ did what he did for you, if you were in him when he died for the sins of his people and rose again for their justification, if you then be risen with Christ to newness of life, seek those things which are above. That's what our text is talking about. Meditate on those things. Seek doesn't mean look around and or try to find some secret code in the scripture. It means strive for that. Think on that. Meditate on that. Things above. What does that mean? You know, pearly gates and streets of gold? No, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Meditate on how that Christ lives and ever intercedes for his people. By what? On what basis? The precious blood that he shed for our sins. Meditate on the fact that we have a high priest in the very heavenlies, in the Holy of Holies, not made with hands, who had somewhat to offer to God for us. Where Christ sits on the throne. Well, I love to meditate on that, don't you? Our Savior sits on the throne. The one that gave himself for us, the one that we are one with. Paul said we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ right now. We haven't really experienced that yet, do we? By faith, we get a glimpse of that. Don't be distracted by what's not real. Where Christ sits on the right hand of God, set your affection on things above, those things, the things of Christ, who he is, what he did, why he did it, what he accomplished, and where he is right now, sitting on the right hand of God, not on things on the earth. We're involved in things of this earth. We work jobs and we're involved in the economy of this world. We have to associate with people of this world. But our affection is not on the things of this world. Our mind is not always full of the things of this world. It cannot be as a believer. We don't care so much about what's going on in this world. What's God doing? What does God say? What does he say is important? What does he say is vital? Listen to Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. So much dishonesty in this world. You can't believe anybody or anything. Believe God. Whatsoever things are just. Not a whole lot of that in this world either, is there? As far as what men are dishing out. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's impossible. I started to say that's so hard for me to do. I can't do that without grace. My mind gets bowed up with the foolishness of this world. There's no peace there. There's no comfort there. Think on these things. Think on the things of Christ. Think on who he is. Think on what he did for you. Try to see this world in light of the fact that he does sit on the throne. Try to see this world in light of the fact that everything is worked by him for your good, believer. Everything. You can't do that now. As sure as I'm sitting here telling you to do that, you can't do that unless God is gracious to you. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do them. Live them. Live the grace of God. Live the gospel. And the God of peace shall be with you. We're not ever alone. It would be good all by itself just to know that God's in control of everything. But to know that he's right here with us, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am. And he says to every believer, wherever we go, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Oh, this world will. The people of this world may. Some certainly will. But not me, he said. Can a mother abandon her child that needs her, that feeds from her? The Lord said she might, but I won't abandon you. She just might. She's that messed up. We are too. Every one of us, we're that messed up. But he said, I'll never forsake you. The God of peace shall be with you. And see that word do now. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Do. That word is key to our text also. Don't forget that part of our text in 1 Timothy 4. The word meditate in our text means to care for, to attend to carefully, to practice. To practice. Do you know what the difference is in being a doer of the word and not a hearer only? And just being a hearer of the word, agreeing with it, but not a doer of the word. You don't live it. You know what the difference is? Love. Absolutely love. You see it all through the scripture. Do you know doctrine, or do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, what's tricky about that now is that you have to know sound doctrine in order to love Christ. You can't fall in love with somebody you don't know anything about. Can't love somebody you don't know, but you can sure know somebody you don't love. Knowledge puffeth up. Love buildeth up. And love does. Love always does. Give yourself, he said, also to these things, so that your profiting may appear to all. Your progress, that's what it is, progress. Your progress, your growth in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be apparent, evident, made obvious, made known to all. You can't fake it and you can't hide it. Not for long. You can talk a good game for a while. You can be a hypocrite and some may fall for it. Maybe for a good while, but you're going to be found out. God's not fooled for a second. You're going to be found out eventually. And notice the words, so that your profiting may appear to all. That's what we want. That's the goal there. So that it has practical effect, so that there's an accomplishment, not by you, but by God working in you, both to will and to do of your good, of his good pleasure in you, with you, through you, so that your profiting may be evident. Faith without works is dead. It's dead. It's not the faith that God gives. It's not faith that saves. And faith does say, it does save if God says it saves. If he says your faith saved you, whatever faith he's talking about saves. The faith that he gives. But this is what we want. So that your profiting, your growth, your progress may appear to all. Not so that everybody will look at you and say, look how spiritual they are. That's not what it's talking about. But so that others may profit too. So that others may grow. That's how we all grow. It behooves all of you to pray for me that the Lord would profit me, because by that means you will also profit in the things of the Lord. And that's true now of each of us. I profit from your profiting. You see what I'm saying? The Lord, that's the way the Lord does it. So that, don't miss those words, so that in that verse. And then look at verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Now you think about, that's what he's been saying. Those first two phrases in that verse right there, 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. That is a summary of everything we've seen in the book of 1 Timothy so far. Hadn't everything he said had something to do with what? How did he put it? How you ought to behave yourself in the house of God and the mystery of godliness. Words of faith and good doctrine. You see what I'm saying? It's take heed to yourself now and unto the doctrine. Everything that he said so far is that. Thyself and the doctrine. Look how these two verses also sum that up. I want us to look at a couple of verses that are also in 1 Timothy here. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. This is all of it right here. Bible doesn't say a lot of things. It says the same thing, a lot of ways. Look at it, 1 Timothy 3:14. These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. Take heed to yourself. It's not about pleasing God. It's not about your righteousness before God. Christ is all of our righteousness before God. It's about honoring the one that saved you by his grace. It's about worshiping him. That's what this is. Take heed to yourselves. If you be in the faith, whether you be in the faith, not whether you measure up to God's standard of righteousness, we already know we don't. Whether you be in the faith, Paul said in another place. Examine yourselves whether you believe on Christ or not. All of this is vain unless you believe on him. Which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of the truth. It's about how you behave yourself in the house of God. But of course, if we're hypocrites, we're hypocrites. We don't know God at all if we behave ourselves in the house of God one way and in the world another way. But the reason it says house of God is because this is the pillar and ground of truth. It's not about us and our righteousness. It's about the gospel of Christ. It's about him. It's about his message going forth in the right way. It matters how we behave ourselves in the house of God because it's the house of God. It's the gospel of life. Seeing that we have such hope, we behave ourselves a certain way by God's grace. We pray for it constantly. And then the next verse, okay? Take heed to thyself and to what? And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Take heed to yourself, and what's next? Christ, God manifest in the flesh, God justified in the spirit as a man, God seen of angels, God preached unto the Gentiles, God believed on, received up into glory. And then he says this, continue in them. Continue in them. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine and continue in them. This is usually where the hypocrites and the true servants of God are separated and discovered, in the continuing. Paul said they went from us that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. And that manifests itself in a lot of ways. It's not just about somebody, you know, doesn't come to church anymore here. It's not just about that. It's not about leaving this church, it's about leaving God, leaving Christ. Continue in them, truly serving the Lord and not self. We progress in grace and knowledge. That's what we mean by take heed to yourself. Progression in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by His grace, that happens. But what and who we know, that doesn't change. That does not progress. We don't progress in the doctrine. We continue in the doctrine. I believe that the tragedy of my lifetime in God's true church is this right here. Instead of just continuing in sound doctrine, people love to figure out something new, don't they? Something new. They studied so much, they got smarter than God. Or just being lazy and not really studying the Word of God at all may have given birth to this. But something new. All of a sudden, after worshiping the Lord for decades without even hearing about some things, all of a sudden it's the most important thing in the Bible. So much so that brethren separate and people are confused. And I start hearing about something I've never heard before. And now all of a sudden that's the one thing, you know, whatever it is. It's different things sometimes. To me, it's not. By God's grace, Christ is everything. But listen to me now this morning. When people start progressing beyond the clear, plain, undeniable, consistent Word of God, the result will always be that what they're saying will be unclear. It'll be confusing. And it'll be a point of contention and strife about words rather than worship and unity in Christ. Mark it down. It's the tragedy of our lifetimes in God's true church, as far as I know. And then he said this, you'll save yourself. Remember when that other verse of scripture, save yourselves from this perverse and untoward generation. Save yourselves. And them that hear you. What could possibly be more solemn than the prospect of saving those that hear me? In the sense that the Word of God says that, it does say that. This is why we preach. This is why we take heed to ourselves. This is why we want to be, by God's grace, doers of the Word. This is why we want God to work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, not mine. This is why, right here, because it's life or death. It's life or death. As I stand here before you this morning, it's eternal life or death. That's what's impressed upon us here. The stakes are infinitely high. Any other doctrine than that which we preach is accursed. But though we, Paul wrote to the Galatians, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In taking heed to sound doctrine, and in God not allowing you to be such an outward wretch that nobody will listen to you, you'll save yourself and those that hear you when the gospel is preached. We know who saves sinners, who alone saves sinners. God, Christ saves sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I just happen to be the worst one. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. Not me. But in this sense, think about what this says now. Since it doesn't say that, it's important to think about what it does say. This verse does remind us of the means that God uses to save sinners. Think with me, this is not complicated. You might read that and say, us saving people? That's wrong. If God said it, how can you say that? Find out what it says. Quit worrying so much about what it doesn't say, except that we need to know what it doesn't say. But you knew that before I ever told you that. You knew that God is the Savior. He's a just God and a Savior. But listen, it's by this sound doctrine, it's by the preaching of Christ, again, by somebody that lives it, because you're not going to hear anybody else. You're not going to hear it at all. God had to do something for his disciples so that people would hear him. That's the take heed to yourself part. It's for the sake of him, not ourselves. But it's by this sound doctrine, the preaching of Christ and him crucified, the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ, that God saves sinners. And this is like saying, the sunshine makes the flowers grow. When I say that, you know it's God that makes the flowers grow. But I'll tell you this, you can argue with me, you can say what I said ain't right, you can say God makes the flowers grow, the sunshine doesn't make the flowers grow, and then go put your flowers in a dark room and see what happens. That's our text. The sunshine makes the flowers grow. It really does. God gave the sunshine. And he gave the seed, and he waters it, and he makes it grow. But that's how he does it. He shines his light like this right here, like what we're doing right now. That's how he shines his light. That's the rain that comes down from heaven, he said. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. You look at that later. I know this is a good illustration of our text, because God used it in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. Neglect the means that God has ordained, sunshine, water, good soil, and so on, and you'll regret it. Romans 10, 13 through 15. How are they going to hear without a preacher? You know how that passage starts out? Salvation. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be, what? Saved. But how are they going to call on him whom they've never heard about? Whom they've not believed in? And how are they going to believe on Christ without hearing about him? And how are they going to hear without a preacher? And how in the world is a wretched sinner going to come up with this unless God sends him? Wow, you talk about a miracle. It's a miracle of God's grace that anybody ever hears the gospel and believes on the Son of God. Timothy, unless you continue in the doctrine of Christ and conduct yourself in such a way that the word of God can be heard, how are the people you preach to going to be saved? Is that a fair question based on what we just read in Romans chapter 10? Saved. Those who call shall be saved. God. It traces the means for that salvation of a sinner back to God, sent to a preacher. And that's anybody who heralds the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philip sat in a chariot, and that old eunuch was saved that day, because he turned to the same passage of scripture that man was reading and preached unto him Jesus. Jehovah Savior. I just want to close by saying thank God for this. Thank God for using a nobody from nowhere to bring the gospel in this place. God has arranged it so that the excellency is of God and not of man. Thank God for that. And my prayer is that the universal and resounding commentary upon this ministry is now and always will be, our Savior is a mighty Savior and altogether lovely.